Vargas, and you're listening to Episode 8 of the Art Scene Podcast. But before I introduce my guest today, I want to remind everyone to be sure to visit the podcast website at www.artscenepc.com, where you can listen to past episodes and check out the podcast photo gallery filled with pictures of my guests and their work. All right, so this week I had the pleasure of speaking with Gabriel Edwards, a locally based artist here in the Bay Area. I first met Gabe while at SFAI, and during that time, I always seemed to run into him while roaming the halls of the graduate studios. Aside from the other students in my cohort, I can honestly say he was the only other person I saw the most on campus. And you'll find out later why. But during that time, I never really had a chance to get to know him and ask him about his work. So needless to say, I really enjoyed catching up and learning more about him. He even flipped it around on me and started asking me questions. So without further ado, here is our conversation. How's it going?
Good.
How often do you come to San Francisco?
I come, I think, maybe like once or maybe once a week, maybe a little bit less.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe like three times a month.
Yeah. And I saw you at the art book fair. Were you helping like set that up or like be a part of the group that helped set that up?
Yeah. Sarah Tell does that in some way. She's more involved than I am.
Yeah.
And she kind of reaching out to find people to help do stuff. So I was just like handing out water, and that's the second year I've done that, just as a guy to help out.
So our listeners know, so you and I both went to SFAI together.
Right.
But you were in the MFA program, right?
Yeah.
What did you study when we were there? That was like the one thing. I always saw you around doing all different types of work, but I actually didn't know what specific medium you went in or were listed as when we were in school.
Yeah, it's weird. Technically painting, but you can kind of just do whatever you want, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And
they never said like to fulfill your focus on painting. So I actually ended up doing more drawing stuff, and then when we graduated, they wanted you to write down again like where your focus was. So I wrote painting and drawing.
Yeah.
When I got my thing, it still said painting. So they were just like, "No, you can't just claim something." I was like, "I don't know. It's fine with me." But
I mean, you do some. I was looking at your work and that you've done lately, and I even remember some of the work you were doing when we were in school. And I don't think I saw as many paintings or drawings coming from you. I think most of it was like a lot of audio work. You're doing those books on tapes.
Right.
And you were also doing like sculpture type work too. A lot of mixed media. How did you decide to go? I'm assuming you're traditionally a painter. Well, actually, let me ask you, where are you from originally? And then where you went to school and then how you got into making art?
From Marietta, California. I don't know. Do you know that?
Oh yeah, I'm from San Diego County. So
yeah. And then there was a guy that a friend of mine who had, I believe he moved to like Boston, and then he moved to Seattle, and then he moved back to like Elsinore, which is right by there. And he had kind of had a taste of like a real city with like an art scene and stuff. And so through our church, he had gotten funding. He's like, "Can I have like an after school program where people come to my garage and make artwork and stuff?" And so then he asked me to come along. I was already graduated at that point from high school, but I was just kind of like working odd jobs and stuff. And then slowly I worked from like, because it was kind of in the hype of like Banksy at the time, you know, this is 2002.
Yeah.
And so I would make like little stencils and stuff. And then I walked into his house, and he was doing a painting that wasn't a stencil. He had projected an image and then was kind of painting a really clean lined thing on it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of like intrigued me as a better thing than to have like this fuzzy stencil look to it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then, I just kind of really took to it. I never made any kind of artwork before that. I was 18. So, yeah. And then he quit making artwork like 3 years later. And I don't think he's done that since. But
so it was just by watching this guy? Like, so you just knew him and he came back and you just saw him doing his thing. And you're like, that's kind of what you just caught on to it. And you're like, "I think I want to do something like that."
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, I think my first several paintings were just like John Lennon, you know? And
yeah,
this thing that was kind of from like a Bob Dylan album cover. I had a lot of posters and stuff in my room, and I was really into music. I thought, like, well, I don't think I can make anything that anyone's going to care about. But I think if I did, like, John Lennon, people will like him, so then it could be accepted in some way, you know?
Yeah.
But not that I even had, like, ambitions of selling stuff, but...
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of took to it. I still don't know why, and I wonder... Because I have a lot of friends I think about who I think of as like these artists without a medium, you know?
Yeah.
And they're still kind of like, they're not really musicians or painters or anything. And that's what I was like before then. I was just into music, but not really in a band or anything. And
yeah.
And then, I just found my thing and got a little good, some good feedback and started making more and it started to evolve. And yeah.
Yeah. So then, where did you go to undergrad then? Like, I mean, I'm assuming like, so this is like this year, you must have like at least, it sounds like you took like a year off, right? After high school and then kind of then decided you wanted to go back to school or?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what I wanted to do or major in or anything. So I took some junior college, mostly just to kind of, I would take classes that I hadn't any idea about what it was really about. But it was like, well, let's just jump into this pool, like sociology, you know, and I took film class and
where at?
I went to Palomar College.
Oh, yeah.
Montecito.
Yeah.
And then I went to a college in Menifee.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to Azusa and I went to Citrus Junior College.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, I decided I was just going to start going to a proper college. And I was actually, for some reason, I was just like, oh, I'll just go to San Francisco State because I'm an artist and there's like art up there, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
But I kind of like met a girl and stuff and she was going to Azusa Pacific. So I started going there. I ended up studying philosophy because I was already kind of doing artwork and I kind of liked taking art classes and telling people I was an art major, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, but you should be, you know. I don't know, it's like a little ego thing, but I liked philosophy classes and the conversations it would get into, and I didn't have any, I wasn't like a great philosophy student, but I would go to classes and kind of texts and stuff would kind of spin me off into good ideas, I thought, you know, and I don't know, at that level, the art students weren't necessarily having like great conversations, I felt.
full of like the guys who are in there for easy A's and stuff. They weren't really like, oh, this is like what we want to do for study for a living. And
yeah. And there were some good artists there for sure. And they've gone to do different things, but Paul, like their senior thesis, they were covering stuff that I'd covered like 2 years before, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Utilitarianism and stuff. And I was like, oh, yeah, you should read, you know, John Stuart Mill and Jeremy Bentham and da da da. And I always like knowing stuff, like being on, I don't know, the same way I took classes, you know, that were just things I didn't know. I like knowing about just being in the know, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And so then when did you decide to make that move to go to SFAI? What happened in undergrad or even post undergrad that you felt like, you know, I want to take my art more seriously and then you wanted to take it to the next level by getting a master's?
Yeah, I had a teacher named Macha Suzuki, who's an artist in LA, and he'd gone to Claremont. He was one of a few people that was saying like, yeah, you know, it's a good route to go to and you really incubate in art school, you know, and all I was really looking for out of going to art school was an opportunity to just do nothing but that mm-hmm. for a good chunk of time. After college, I kind of worked some odd jobs in LA again, and then I found a job in Gilroy, California.
Yeah.
Working with like at-risk youth, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you live in this house with them and you work 3.5 days a week and you have 3.5 days off. And I was like, well, that sounds like a good chunk of time to make artwork. And I wasn't sure if I was going to SFAI or not, but.
But wait, hold on a second. So what did you do with these at-risk youths? Like, what kind of work did you do with them?
They were most, it was all like a drug and alcohol thing.
Mm.
So I'd take them to like meetings. We went to like a meeting every day.
Yeah.
And and take them to school in the morning. I cooked all their meals.
Wow.
And other than there's a few like main things, like you have to do dinner, you have to do this, but other than that, just kind of hang out.
What made you want to do that?
It was a job my brother had done before me. Mm. And I mean, I don't mind doing stuff like that. That's cool. But I mean, I was really just looking for a job that would buy me time. Before that, I was looking into going to Japan to teach English.
Yeah.
And, for similar reasons, just time away to work on artwork. And, it occurred to me that I also didn't know anybody in the Bay Area, so I would get the same effect and it'd be ultimately closer to home, you know? So
yeah,
I was like, well, I'll just do this instead, you know?
Mm-hmm. So then how long are you at this like at risk youth camp?
Like 3 years.
3 years. Wow. And in all that time, and on all that time you're making artwork.
Yeah. And since you could live there for free, there was not a lot of pressure. And yeah, I would just sit in my room and make a lot of work. And then during that time, I met my wife, who would get some proper photos taken, my wife that I met during that time. And then I went to Portfolio Day. And that was the first time I really got any kind of feedback from art people that wasn't, I don't know, it wasn't like glowing response, but they weren't like telling me I was in the wrong career. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
you finish, so you wrap up the working at the at-risk youth camp, and then you move to San Francisco, or?
No, I never moved to San Francisco. My wife lived in San Jose, so yeah, I lived there for a bit. But, you know, the whole time in grad school, I lived in my studio, like, 5 days a week. I had this, like, box with, like, a bed in it, you know, that you couldn't.
At SFAI, you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. Like when I used to work, well, the first semester I slept under my desk and I just put a box in front of the desk so you couldn't tell there was someone sleeping there, you know?
Yeah.
Over the summer, after the first semester, they delivered this big tub for the photo department to develop photos.
Yeah.
And it was a big crate. And I asked if I could have the crate and I set it up and I kind of rigged it so you pull out a box and then you could unroll a sleeping bag. You know, and yeah, my wife was like, yeah, you know, art school is expensive. So if you're going to do it, you have to like, you know, do it the best way possible. I was like, well, probably a good idea that I don't commute back and forth all the time. So I would come up on Monday and then just come home on Friday, you know.
That's great. That's great. I had no idea that you were doing that whole time.
Yeah, and I also started reading about, like, alternative sleep methods. So, you know, like, 8 hours is the least efficient. And then, like, if you sleep for 5 hours, though, and you take a one-hour nap in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And then there's even, like, it goes and goes and goes to one is, like, if you take, like, 8 20-minute naps a day, you should be okay, you know?
Yeah.
So I did the 5 and 1 hour thing. So I'd stay up to like 3 in the morning every day and then wake up at 8 and then always take a nap in the middle of the day. So, I would just like be where I worked. So I would just be in the middle of a drawing and I'd just stop and go take a nap, you know?
Yeah. Well, that explains why I saw you all the time at Third Street then.
Yeah. And also because a lot of my work was, I started doing audio work. You know, you can't always make that. We didn't have like a sound booth or anything.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to be here when no one else is here, you know? And
yeah.
It's funny because I was in A-Bay. Mary Ma was my neighbor and she lived across the street. It was this other artist and she would be there at all hours. So I would often go into other artists' studios to like record the audiobooks and stuff.
Yeah. When did you decide to move away a little bit from painting and try other type of work, like such as like doing these audiobooks? Because I think that's, for me so far, that's been the most interesting thing. And I've always wanted to ask you, like, what is the deal behind the audiobooks?
When I first went to art school, I thought this would be like, I don't know, I've always like kind of followed my nose with making artwork. So not really knowing where I was going all the time. And when I went to art school, I bought a tape recorder to do like a diary with.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'd stop it after art school, but I've just kept it going. And I don't know. At some point, I like the idea of like making a book out of it. But so I had a tape recorder around, and I was always recording my voice as like new ideas came to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's the tape recorder thing. And I don't know, I want to go back and listen to it, but I'm not sure where it came from. I think the idea was because they're all the covers are black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what if I started thinking like punk demos, you know?
Yeah.
If you look up early like Black Flag demos, it's just like they've drawn their logo on it and stuff. And
yeah.
Made these kind of like homemade tapes. And I was like, what if I started thinking about artists doing things other than art. And it's like, what if there was like a guy trying to get into the audiobook game? So he made demo audiobook and then started to like pass them out and be like, hey man, just tell me what you think, you know? And
yeah,
I can come read something for you. And a really weird premise. But so I read Jonathan Livingston Seagull, which only it took me one tape to read that. And then I started picking a book. I picked a book that was like only two tapes long. I picked like The Metamorphosis, and then I picked a book on how to clean your house. Like I wanted to read every genre of book, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah.
And that's still an ongoing series, right? You're still producing these audiobooks.
Yeah, I kinda have this thing now where I want to make a library, and the audiobooks don't I read an entire book and on the cassette, and it's 90 minutes of tape. And I slowly learned that longer books would be interesting. And so like I just finished a book that was 16 tapes long.
Oh man.
And, all the traditional art comes in when I draw the portraits on the cover or whatever the cover is. And, a lot of people think they're like photocopies, but they're all hand drawn. And, yeah.
Like every single one. Cause you have like more than one copy of each audio tape book, right? I mean, no. Or is that
there's no copies. So that just exists. That's just one.
Yeah.
So like I just finished Reagan's memoirs and so I drew his portrait, you know, like, I make some extras now that I frame on their own. So I made like 25 drawings of Reagan's head, you know, and I kind of picked like the best 16 for that book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So when you started, was that kind of like the first project you did that was outside of traditional painting, or have you done other work besides that?
I don't know if I did before that really. I made a record, you know about that?
Yeah, is it the Christmas record?
Yeah. So that's kind of, I think of them as being like cousin pieces, you know. It's just a record of me singing, and I find like the best work comes through, not accidents, but you're like halfway done by the time you realize it's an art piece, you know?
Yeah.
So I made for friends and family a CD, like a Christmas CD. And then when they played it, it's like me singing karaoke songs and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I could like, what if I got it pressed on vinyl and took proper photos for the album cover? So
yeah,
that's kind of strays away from it.
Why did you want to do that type of work? What was your kind of your inspiration, or was there an inspiration at all for that?
I think the original idea with the audiobooks was, I started to meet teachers that had careers and stuff and started to become familiar with the idea that once you kind of get a base of collectors, you are expected to keep making the same kind of work, you know?
Yeah.
And part of me was like, well, fuck that. I'm just going to constantly make different kinds of work, you know? So I still do make paintings and stuff and drawings but I was like, well, but what if that is the way it is? Okay. And that is unavoidable. What's something you could see yourself doing for the rest of your life that you could enjoy?
Yeah.
And back to like loving to know stuff, and to kind of get insights I wouldn't normally have. I like the idea of being able to read books for the rest of my life, you know? And like, well, yeah, that's not bad. So yeah, that was the genesis of that.
And what kind of stuff have you been making since we graduated the last couple of years?
My goal right now is to get like 5 or 6 shows a year, you know? and to be in something, you know, and just keep myself out there. It kind of comes when you don't expect it, but I'm always recording books, and I started to with the tape thing. So one time as a birthday present to a friend, I recorded a book, and I said, like, what's a book that you won't read that's on your shelf? Because we all have books that we, like, will never get to, you know? And I was like, and I'll read it for you as a gift, you know? And so she hadn't read this Foucault book. And so I read this Foucault book, and then I made an extra tape cover for her. And I framed it, and I said, here, this is like, you know, I made like 9 for the book, and here's the 10th one for you. And then that kind of spun me off into making extra tape covers. And then now I make mashup covers. So I read this book about punk or post-punk called Rip It Up and Start Again. And I made, I don't know how many covers for that with the name of the book and the author and all that. And then the next book I read was Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And I had some tape covers from this Rip It Up and Start Again book. So I took the portrait of Frankenstein and put it with the Rip It Up and Start Again title. And I started doing mashups, you know, like that. And right now I'm doing one with, I read Donald Trump's book.
How was that?
a lot of just like, we're going to do this, but not really any explanation of like how, you know.
Right.
And the tapes for me are very, they don't have any opinion for me. Like, right. I don't put any opinion on it. I just kind of read the book.
Yeah.
The portrait is as, you know, I didn't pick like a stupid picture for Trump. You know, I just picked a portrait that he actually used on that cover because he references it in the book. I'm not smiling in this picture because I'm not happy about. But with the mashups tape covers, there is some opinion in there because, you know, I read Reagan's book, and right now I'm reading Schwarzenegger's book, and I'm kind of doing this three-way mashup between all the titles and the portraits and stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't know, always making audiobooks. I have these sex chairs people like. After my first year at SVI, they were throwing away all this furniture, you know, and from the students that were graduating, they were leaving all their desks and chairs behind, and I thought, I can't save all these for like incoming students, but I'm sure they would want them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Saved all the chairs, and I saved like 30 good chairs. And I had this dream of like selling them for like $5 each to incoming students, but like I think everyone was like, what? Like, fuck that, you know. But I ended up giving them all away. But a lot of them I just still kept in my studio. They didn't get rid of, but I started putting them in like Kama Sutra positions and then painting them in those positions. So, yeah. And then I still make work with, Nyung Woo, you know,
mm-hmm.
we have a painting collaboration together. And, just this year I just sent her, she's in Korea right now, but I sent her like 50 pieces that I'd started, you know.
That's cool. And what you guys plan on showing that or eventually or?
Yeah, it's hard to say because she used to be my neighbor and at SFAI. So I would do a drawing, bring it over, and then she would add to it, bring it back, and we would go back and forth. And now we're literally on opposite sides of the world. So
yeah,
I'm not sure how many more times we'll be able to go back and forth. But
do you like collaborating with other artists?
Potentially. I mean, sometimes it can be – it depends on the artist, you know, and some people, it's like, oh, I can't imagine. Yeah, I don't know. Her and I work really well. And I think there's a lot at play because she's not American. And in our conversations culturally, like she doesn't know. I don't know. Maybe she does. But she doesn't seem to get things like Seinfeld, you know?
Right.
Or I remember one time I explained to her how, like, in the 90s, like, Jack in the Box.
Yeah.
Killed the kid, or, you know, like they served like a hamburger that killed this kid, you know. And then after that, Jack in the Box came out with the Jack character, you know.
Yeah.
They brought back the Jack character, who was like this friendly, neighborly guy that you could like trust, you know. And she had like no idea about this whole like history, and I was like, so that's why that character's like there, because they redid their whole image. And so I don't know, the art with her and I, like, I'll put something in there that's loaded. Like, I know this last group of stuff. I drew a pencil drawing of Dave Letterman. I don't know if she knows who that is, you know? And I didn't color him. So I'm interested to see if she, like, gives him black hair and or what, you know? I don't know.
Yeah,
or,
that's very interesting. Yeah, that is actually very interesting. You know, making drawings of people who are, you know, well-known visibly in the United States, and then you're wondering, as you're saying it to her, if she recognizes them or... I mean, she's basing it off of her own imagination, probably, of what she thinks they look like, what their hair, their eye color. I mean,
and then a lot of times I'll do something like that, and then she'll send it back to me, and she won't have even colored him in.
Yeah,
she drew like a bunch of flowers or something like that, and I'm like, oh, you didn't even acknowledge this thing, and
yeah,
which is fine. That's part of like she didn't even get the setup. You
right.
know what I
mean? Right.
So yeah, I don't know. I think, and also, there's a lot of freedom in, like, as a when I paint something, I always think, like, I'm a white guy, I'm a male. Sometimes I can paint something, I'm like, well, this, they don't know that she didn't paint this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And not even that we get that crazy or anything, but there's just a little bit of mental freedom knowing I'm going to send it to her and she's going to add something to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. What do you do? So when you're not making art, like, what do you do? I mean, job wise, do you mostly are dedicated to full time making art? Do you have like another job that you do in San Jose when you're not in San Francisco?
Right now, I'm a stay at home dad.
Oh, nice. Oh, yeah, that's right. You have a kid.
A daughter.
How is balancing being a stay at home dad? I mean, I'm assuming you probably have a lot more time to make work, right? Because you're actually in your home and you have your space.
Yeah, I mean, basically her nap time every day is art time, you know?
Yeah.
And that's from 11 to, like, yesterday she only slept like an hour and a half, you know? And you just got to stop what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And then she goes to bed at 7. So it can be between an hour and a half and, like, 3 hours, you know? And then she goes to bed at 7:30, wakes up at 6. So, you know, you can find some time in there.
Yeah.
And there was a few weeks ago, there was a show I heard about that I wanted to submit a piece for, and my wife's pretty understanding about that. And so all of a sudden it just became like all time when I wasn't dealing with her, my daughter, became like art time, you know?
Yeah.
And I just banged out this piece for the show. So,
yeah.
So yeah, it's not bad though.
Hanging out and spending time a lot with your daughter, does that have that, does that ever carry into your work sometimes?
Not really. I think I've seen that happen to some artists, and I'm not so, I don't know, like, excited about that, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember the guy that started me painting, you know, that, like, quit. He hit the last show he did. He just made, like, 3 pieces for his kid, and he was like, oh, I'm not even going to sell these. These are for his room, you know?
Yeah.
And there's something kind of deflating about that, and I've always been very thoughtful about that. Or the first semester of art school, another guy just dropped out because he had a kid, and he was like, well, why do I want to make art anymore? I have a kid now.
Yeah.
I was like, is that what happens, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. That doesn't happen to me. And yeah, I don't know. I'll not so much though. It hasn't really affected me.
Yeah. You're able to keep it separate, like the two different worlds separate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I also know that you have your own podcast. Talk to me about this.
How do you like podcasting?
So far, so good. I mean, I got into it because I, you know, I work at a science museum.
Oh, yeah.
And so I originally got hired to do like an art type project for this art museum in terms of like they had a bunch of artwork and stuff that they want to get rid of or because they're a science museum. So,
yeah.
But, you know, being there, I'm surrounded more by scientists than I am by, like, artists.
Uh-huh.
And so I needed something to pull me back into the art community a little bit. So this was kind of my project to kind of keep me in the loop still and force me really, you know, to network and talk to everybody and run into everybody again, like that, you know, I went to school with at SFBI and who are still here in San Francisco. I don't know. And I like talking to people. So this is like perfect.
I feel like there's not enough like art podcasts, it seems.
Well, and that was kind of the other thing too, is there's like, you know, maybe a handful of art podcasts, and a lot of them they're okay. It's just like some of them I felt like weren't as diverse in who they interviewed. I think some of the topics, sometimes they only were talking about only about art, but not about like, who is this person? What do they do? You know, outside of making art, do they have a personal life? You know, like, you know, and when I want to learn about somebody, I want to learn about all aspects of what they do, because I feel like that's what shows how interesting they are as a person, you know, not just like, okay, I know you make all these, you know, these great paintings, but, I want to know why you make them, you know, when did you start making them? And when you start getting to those questions, you start finding out how diverse all artists are, you know, like what their inspirations are, why they do it. You know, some have a very academic explanation, some don't. But nonetheless, their work doesn't mean that their work is not as good, you know?
Right.
But you have a podcast, but I heard it's about horror movies, right? That you talk about. Talk to me about that, because that's interesting, because that seems, I don't know if it ties in with your artwork at all, or is that something completely different that you're just interested in doing?
It started to kind of come in to making art, like the subject matter. Like I've done some like Jason artwork, you know, or yeah, I'm just into, I didn't grow up watching horror movies or anything. I don't know why it occurred to me to start watching them. I think I've found myself a horror fan, but it's not like what I watch exclusively, but now it's like I'll watch like several a week.
Yeah.
And we cover one horror film, a podcast, and it's kind of evolved with who's on the show, but it's called Axe Brother Podcast.
And how often do you do them?
We do it weekly when we have episodes.
Yeah. So you do it by seasons is what it sounds like.
Well, it's just a matter of getting our people together for it. So especially now, there's three of us that do the show now, and two of us just moved to the Bay Area, and we've got a plan. We're not going to get together for like a couple months. So this next episode we're just all watching as many films as we can to kind of like educate ourselves. And then we're going to do like mini reviews, you know, or just like, I don't know, going through it. But I like the idea of it just because, the same way with the books on tape, like, because I do those in groups of 20, you know?
Yeah.
20 books by philosophers, or 20 books by, like, comedians, or 20 novels by this author. And I like moving through lists. So with the horror films, I like, you know, just going through a director or something like that, you know?
The last thing I wanted to ask you before I let you go is, what's your ultimate goal? Like, what do you plan on... Like, what would you like in terms of your art career? What do you see yourself doing in like another 5-10 years from now?
Oh, man. I mean, my ultimate goal, just if I could have the financial freedom just to make stuff, you know?
Yeah.
And the space. I mean, since art school, I've been in really small quarters. We lived in like an Airstream briefly. And right now we're in a one bedroom apartment. So I did art handling recently when I was living in LA. And, I got to go to some artist studios, you know?
Yeah.
To see like, fuck, this guy's got like this warehouse, you know? And,
yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. My goal is just to keep being able to do what I'm doing. And, for specifically the tape project, I see this kind of room that's got a bunch of them in it, and it's got like a Barnes and Noble. It's got sections, you know? Mm-hmm. And, when I read Trump's book, I thought it was good to do, because I kind of want to capture, like, you know, who knows how long that guy's going to be in the news, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could be 8 years, could be, you know, 6 more months or whatever, but I think I'm interested in looking back and seeing, like, oh, yeah, this was relevant at this point, and that's why, the same reason a library would be compelled to get a book, that's the same reason I want to put something in my library, and yeah, I don't know. I'm not really sure where I'm going, you know, as far as like the same thing with my artwork though, just start making stuff. And, my goal is just to get it out there all the time and to do shows and, build a community. I don't know. I find that artists are not, I've always been really into stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And, I think comedians have a comedy club. They're kind of these reclusive people, but they have a comedy club where they can get together, you know, and
yeah, they seem to have a pretty good community, like where they all know each other in some way and see each other's stuff over and over again. And
potentially artists have art shows to do that, but you know, no one goes to every show and
yeah.
You can miss somebody sometimes. So I don't know. Like, I like the idea of building up a nice little group of people, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I listen to a lot of podcasts, like Mark Maron's podcast and a lot of, you know, other comedians' podcasts, and they all just know each other and they all talk about how they're all going to the same things. Like, oh, I went to this party and, you know, so-and-so was there. And I'm like, man, you guys like must see each other like all the time, you know? And, but they still do different stuff from each other, but it's, you know, I'm always wondered, and maybe this goes back to me not going out much, but I always wonder why artists, that isn't happening a lot more, you know?
Right. And it could be because they're always just making stuff, you know?
Yeah. They're always in a studio, like by themselves, making their own work.
Right. I mean, like there's an artist right now. I'm going to go visit him next week, and I visited with him a couple times, and, I've talked to him and he wants visitors, and I visited him and he was appreciative, but like, so I think artists like the idea of this, but no one knows how to do it. And you just kind of have to like, all right, I'm going to make a little bit of an effort and reach out and, when I have time, you know, and
yeah, for sure.
So
speaking of shows, do you have any coming up?
I'm in a show at, La Luz de Jesus. It's a small gallery in LA. It's like this art bookstore called Wacko. And anyway, they're having a coaster show, and so I'm in that.
Yeah, then, I noticed that you made some coasters. I forgot to ask you about that because I love that movie. But you made the coasters of the Three Amigos,
right? That's the one that I did. I had like a few days notice to do that, and they said you could submit up to four, and I was like, I'll do something that's in three, so I'll have like more time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in that, and then I think I'm in San Jose over like Christmas time at this place called Seeing Things Gallery. I'm just now getting to see the San Jose art people. I'm trying to like hang out with them and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it.
What's your goal?
Was my goal?
Yeah.
With this podcast?
Or just with your career?
My goal, you know, I wanted to originally be a curator. It's not something that I want to do anymore, but I still want to work in museums and like museum nonprofits. And I actually want to be a museum director one day. So like I think the administrative part of the jobs at museums, it seems more attractive to me, mainly because I feel I'm a little bit more organized, a little bit more understanding of everybody else's job.
Right.
For me, like I have a pretty well-rounded background and like and experiences in like all of those, like in the curatorial departments, the exhibits departments, you know, doing registrarial work and collection management type work. But at the same time, like this podcast, for instance, has been me keeping in touch with the more creative side of the art industry, you know, and like wanting to, because I'm interested in learning about people and learning about what they do. And, and the more I feel like I know about that, the better I'm equipped to one day be like an administrator at an art museum.
Yeah.
I guess the best way to put it is I'm really good at playing politics, and that's really, that's a big part of the job when you're an administrator at a museum, is a lot of times you're wheeling and dealing and you're having to deal with different people with different jobs and different personalities and different interests. And I want to be that person, not generalizing at all museums, but like, you know, some institutions that I've been at, you know, it's that part of it is not really well done, you know, and the interests of everybody at the institution are not really addressed. And sometimes I feel like that's what causes divide, or what they say, like silos being created at museums where nobody's talking to each other. Everyone's kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah.
Feel like we're all we all work for the same place. Like we all are trying to do the same thing here. You know, we're all trying to show really good stuff, you know, to an audience that visits our institution. You know, we should be talking more and collaborating more. And I feel like that's a lot of that is not really done a lot, at least at the places I've been at.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd like to be at a place that does do that and, you know, and welcomes it.
Right.
Yeah, that's my goal. All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Pleasure. Thanks.
Yeah. And how often do you come up to shows up here?
I usually don't go to openings because I probably should do that more, but because it's my daughter's bedtime and shit like that. Yeah. You know? So yeah, I like to actually see the artwork, yeah. You know, and openings aren't always the best thing for that. But I usually just find one thing a week or so, and then we'll take a day trip up, you know.
All right, man. Well, take care, and I'll see you later.
Yeah, take it easy.
All right, everyone. That's it for today. It was a pleasure speaking to Gabe, and I hope you enjoyed learning about him as much as I did. Be sure to check out his website at GabrielEdwards.com and the Axe Brother podcast on either iTunes or SoundCloud. After hearing a couple episodes myself, I highly recommend giving it a listen. Finally, please follow the Art Scene podcast on either Instagram or Twitter at ArtScenePC. Okay, till next time.